All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is Woden's Day, Wednesday, Odin's Day. Hope you're all doing wonderful today. It is the 12th of March, 2025, getting ready for a Friday show here coming up too, which will be kind of interesting. Lots of things going on. Lana's birthday is on Friday. Then, of course, we do have that new worm moon eclipse thing happening as well. So, and what else is that? Mercury retrograde. That's when everything just breaks apart, right? All the tech and computers fail and stuff. So let's hope for the best. Let's prepare, but let's pray and hope that we don't have any mishap on that front Friday. And part of that, of course, we're going to bring on Greg Reese. He just got back to me. We're going to bring him on for about an hour, I think, maybe an hour and a half. We'll see if he can join us the full show. Greg Reese, of course, does those shorter interviews, videos rather, for InfoWars. And I want to bring him on because he's exposed Elon Musk in a lot of the videos. He did that one really good one. I think it's from a few years ago now. But kind of talk about his how he views him as like kind of like a front man and how he kind of elbowed his way into certain industries and things like that. So that's one of the topics I want to talk with him about. So anyway, we appreciate him coming on. I'm not sure how he is on the Zionist Israel stuff. That's going to be interesting. I think he's been fairly good on that. And we can ask him if there's any, I guess, internal division there in the InfoWars headquarters about that. I know all the tech people there, many of the people working there. They're definitely on more on that page than Alex is. So maybe he has some insight in that. And actually, on a serious note, was it Jamie White, right? InfoWars? He was actually murdered in Austin a couple of days ago. Now, I didn't get to hear and listen to if this was like, is it because he was an InfoWars reporter? Was it related to the work he had been doing? That was still not clear to me, but I guess I have to listen. I think, was it Alex who did a clip on that? I think he did a short video on that. You have to listen to that and see what the reasoning was. But yeah, apparently he was killed. Austin is just a shithole. And now all these like big tech companies are moving in there too. Maybe they have for a while. But anyway, so that's some of the stuff coming up on Friday. Some other house cleaning stuff before we get to the topics at hand here. Fake hate crime in Australia. And then we're going to talk about this this new... are they influencers yet if they just have one viral video? As that, I guess that's the birth of them becoming an influencer. But these conservative influencers, are we served up a nonstop, silver platters of these, conservative astroturfed influencers? I don't know. We'll look at it. We'll see what it looks like so far, evidence-wise. But anyway, there's a new one. She did a good job at Sam Cedar. Don't get me wrong. He's a total asshat and should be fairly easy to rip apart that guy. But anyway, we'll look at Sarah. Was it Stalker or what was it again? Something like that. What her background is. I always find it interesting. I give a lot of leeway, kind of thing, even when there's questions. I don't rule people out immediately for obvious reasons. I don't think anyone should, right? But, it's you got to ask the questions, right? You got to wonder. So we'll look at that anyway, and her background a little bit, or what type of environment she comes from. But anyway, also, we got some good news on this front. Actually, today, we got Odyssey reconnected to the Stripe account. So when that first happened, I thought it was only us. Then I heard from 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 different people out there, content creators, Odyssey platform people, who also said they had their, kind of their connection between the Stripe and the Odyssey severed, essentially. And I just assumed it was related to this thing that we're going to do anyway. Later, they're still slated to replace the Stripe payment system in less than a month, technically. But they've been kicking that can down the road a couple of times, so we'll see if that happens or not. But regardless, they said that they reached out. Some of them, Nick from Night Nation Review, Adam Green from No More News, they all reached out and they helped out and stuff, and they managed to get that re-enabled as well. And so today, ours clicked in as well. So that's good news. So anybody who do want to use Odyssey, you're good to go on Odyssey, whether it's membership or if you're in a super chat over there. So very good news. Surprised by that. But again, we'll see. I mean, if Stripe is fine, why doesn't Odyssey just keep a fiat payment service as well? Can't they do the crypto thing in addition to that? Anyway, it is what it is. It's not our platform. It's their decision at the end of the day. That's how it goes sometimes. But okay, so with that out of the way, what else do we have? Did we have anything else? No, I don't think so. March 6th. That's wrong. I'm going to change that. What happened there? What did I say? 12th. It's 1 week later. There you go. March 12th. No severe winter setback here yet, but it's not quite spring. We haven't gone around that corner yet. So we'll see what happens when we approach the end of March here anyway. Also, of course, yeah, check out the latest Western Warrior. Up right now on RedHatMembers.com, Odyssey Locals, and on Subscribestar. Good show. A lot of good topics discussed in that one. So that one just went up. All right, Renouncy, if you gifted a sub over on, actually, you gifted a sub to Red S TV. Look at that. Okay, well, thank you. I'd like to have a sub on our own Rumble channel. I think you appreciate that. We got a couple of donos. Holy smokes, Albert here as well is first out the gates. Holy smokes. Thank you so much, Albert. Huge dono. Hi, Henrik. Hope you're doing well or doing good. It says, I feel like the stock market crash this week has been manufactured to try to ruin the economy and blame it on Trump, like you've said they might do. That's what I think is going on. But we'll see, you know. Also, such a shame to see what happened to Jamie White of InfoWars. Indeed. May God rest his soul. Looks like the rest of the crew is being targeted. That's what Owen said today on his show. Looking forward to another great show. Really? Yeah, because Alex did a video about him being some assassination threat. I just saw it so quickly in passing, and I was preparing for the show. I didn't have time to click in on it, but that's right. Yeah, so maybe it's actually a very good time then to bring on Greg Reese. I'm not sure if he's in those parts. I presume he is. He's probably goes to the InfoWars studios, the offices there, and works on that. So we can actually kind of pick his brain a little bit on what's going on and what the reasons is. So that's an interesting development. But yes, indeed, thank you so much, Albert. It's always a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for your incredible support. We appreciate you. Thank you, Albert. McDozer as well says, I received my Solar Boat shirt in the mail today. Yeah, see, we're Solar Boat Bros today. There you go. If you want to be a mug bro, you can get one of those. If you want to be a hat bro, you can get one of those. Is it overkill with the boat now? We could do. Anyway, that's awesome. The shirt. Now, look at this. Listen to this. Here's some good reviews here, right? This shirt feels absolutely amazing on my skin. Lana's a sweeter for sending candies along with it, too. Yes, of course. Absolutely. Of course we do. We're going to give something extra. Something a little sweet. A little treat just for you guys. I'm so happy to finally caught a live show. I'm wearing my new T-shirt while I'm watching. Be well, Henrik and Lana. Thank you, McDozer. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for picking up a shirt, by the way. I appreciate that, too. Yeah. We don't fuck around here. We want the very, very best stuff. Okay, it's organic, very smooth. I think the black one, I think, is a hemp silk organic cotton mix or blend, I believe. So very nice, very comfy. And yes, absolutely. We got a Auslander Rouse folk first as well. And yeah, we started. I'm going to decide on some new color combinations, a couple of new prints that we're working on as well, hoodie and stuff like that. But yeah, that's a great way to support us. Charles Turner over on Entropy as well. Hi, Henrik. Hope you guys got my card for Lance's birthday on Friday. Not yet. It might be in the mail, though. We'll look out for it. This week's Western Warrior was a fine show. Well, thank you, Charles. Appreciate that. Very kind of you, sir. Appreciate it. And I hope you tuned in to the latest After Flash, by the way, because I think Lana said we saw. I couldn't get it to load at all, but Lana said we missed one chat from you Friday. So we do apologize for that in case you didn't hear us say that, Charles. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. All right. Okie dokie. Let's see. What do we got? So why don't we start on this? Why don't we look at some lizards first here? Let's see. What was her name? Lizzie Savetsky. Now, I have talked about her in the past. Was it her husband? It was something with some meeting with Jewish women in some ivory tower in Manhattan or something. It was something like, I think it was, no, it was, was this not the, correct me if I'm wrong, chat. Wasn't it Lizzie Savetsky who had her husband do three nose jobs after October 7th? I could be wrong on this, but I believe that's... that's what we're looking at here. Anyway, let's listen to this warm-hearted beauty here for a little bit, shall we?
It's too bad there's no daylight savings time in Gaza because it's going to be getting dark pretty early tonight. Israel should have done this on October 8th, and the fact that Gaza is dependent on Israel for electricity is a problem that they created for themselves. We can start with the fact that when Hamas was elected to rule Gaza nearly 20 years ago, they dug up the electrical equipment and turned it into weapons. Yeah, they did that. And the people of Gaza elected Hamas democratically. And they've been given billions of dollars over the years that they could have and should have invested into building an infrastructure that includes electricity. But no, all of that money went to tunnels of terror and to weapons and to making the Hamas leaders rich AF. Well, as it turns out, tunnels of terror don't pay the power bill. And when you attempt to destroy a country who is keeping the lights on, they may just decide to turn them off. And for all of you people out there who are going to call this collective punishment, you only seem to care about this so-called collective punishment when it's a war that Israel's forced to fight. No, this is called consequences. Consequences for starting a war, for holding innocent people hostage, for using your own civilians as shields and pawns and stealing their aid and the money that is meant to provide them with their needs, including electricity. You want electricity. Return the 59 innocent people that you stole. It is not that complicated.
All right. Let me see. Was it I saw the headline? No, okay. I thought I saw something about Israel attacking Gaza's... Was it a power station? Electricity? Dang. Okay. All right, I don't want to fail and derail this right away, so let's stick to the point, I guess. But anyway, regarding the power... The power situation, I guess that's what she is referring to, right? The fact that they should have done this right away as opposed to, kind of thing. But of course, Israel have been, not allowed to do the... Gaza-Palestine have not been allowed to do these kinds of things by Israel, obviously, right? They provided the water for them, electricity, and then they can shut that off at any point as a form of, threats, essentially, and these kinds of things. But kind of missing the main point, and I mentioned this... in the latest Western Warrior show as well, but you have the issue of Hamas, right? And there's two clips we can play of basically how Israel and specifically Netanyahu apparently helped to set up Hamas, or at least, if not directly founding it, they definitely funded it along the way, right? Because it was basically a great opportunity for them not only to divide Palestine internally, they saw a two-state solution obviously as a threat to them. So then instead of, having a peaceful Yasser Arafat and the PLO, basically, in Palestine, now they funded a much more radical terror group that essentially kind of split Palestine a little bit of in terms of, like, religious extremism versus, like, kind of secular nationalism of sorts, right, under PLO. And then, of course, now you can go on to use that. They call it blowback, right? And they just say, look how this just blew up in our faces. We didn't want... I'm not even sure I buy this at this point, because the more they, in this sense, lash out, and look, granted, it's understandable why they lash out, considering, just decades and decades of, slaughter of these people there. But regardless... when they do defend themselves, when they strike back, then that can be used as a justification to bomb them. And this, of course, is one of the theories why Israel dropped the guard. It was something I saw another piece just the other day, where Israel admitted that they had sent, I forget if it was special forces or part of military to the Gaza border at, before, like basically slightly before. We had the whole, the hang glider invasion and all that, stuff from Hamas, side, Gaza's side, without notifying local police, which apparently they're supposed to do and things like that. But anyway, here's Ehud Barak, one of the former prime ministers of Israel, actually telling you who basically backed up Hamas.
So are you saying Benjamin Netanyahu deliberately boosted Hamas to try to prevent a Palestinian state?
Yeah, sure. He deliberately and systematically even told on record, whoever wants to avoid the threat of a two-state solution has to support my policy of paying protection money to the Hamas.
So what we did, with the permission of our prime minister, is to let Qatar to transfer a huge amount of money in cash, probably more than $1.4 billion. By doing it, we increased the power of Hamas. We did everything in order to make sure that Hamas will go on controlling Gaza, and Palestinian Authority will control the West Bank, so they will fight each other.
Netanyahu maintains the Qatar money was to avoid a humanitarian catastrophe. Having helped to build up Hamas, Netanyahu has now vowed to destroy it.
He fed the beast and it exploded in our face. If you base your national security strategy solely on force, then you need to win 24/7 forever.
I think that's what they want, though. Again, I don't think you could argue Taliban was the same thing, right? Or Al-Qaeda, I guess, is a better term, right? Even ISIS to a certain extent, right? Like you go on and create these organizations. I mean, ISIS was basically formed in an American prison in Gitmo, right? Was it Gitmo or was it Abu Ghraib? That's right, Abu Ghraib, not Gitmo. Yeah, they brought all these like Muslim scholars together. They let them study and stuff. And then they basically go on to create the Islamic State. And then it's like, whoops, you know, kind of thing. That, but then they inadvertently fund them and give them weapons through, you know, kind of a, really a go-between. They call them Syrian rebels. But it's like, yeah, they're kind of, you know, they're al-Nusra Front kind of adjacent or related. And then no one is really sure about it. It's enough confusion around it that there are very few people are dedicated enough to try to unravel that kind of stuff, right? So here's Ron Paul talking about the same thing of you know, Netanyahu backing up Hamas for these very same reasons. So when they complain and they convetch and they talk about Qatar is funding, yeah, it was literally done with the blessing of Israel, and the reason for that is not only, you know, basically that now you have an excuse, essentially, you can now, which they have done now. Like many accounts on Twitter have pivoted towards blaming, what about the money from Qatar, huh? Oh, ignore APEC. It's really Muslims running the show. It's really the Qatari money we got to worry about, you know. They've literally used that now. So that's what you could do. That's how you can, you know, do a switcheroo. But, you know, the fact is they were encouraging this, and they wanted this situation. They told Qatar to open America told Qatar to open diplomatic channels to Hamas and things like this. So this is one big meddling, gay op, essentially, to destabilize. And then, of course, when something happens, they can go on and blame a group that they funded themselves and supported and propped up. Anyway, here's Ron Paul. Listen to
this. If you look at the history, you'll find out that Hamas was encouraged and really started by Israel because they wanted Hamas to counteract Yasser Arafat. And you say, well, yeah, that was better then and it served its purpose, but we didn't want Hamas to do this. So then we as Americans say, well, we have such a good system, we're going to impose this on the world. We're going to invade Iraq and teach people how to be Democrats. We want free elections. So we encourage the Palestinians to have a free election. They do, and they elect Hamas.
Yeah, I wonder why.
First, indirectly and directly through Israel, help establish Hamas. Then we have election. Then Hamas becomes dominant, so we have to kill them. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it does kind of make sense, actually, right? That's what it does. It actually does make sense. Now it makes sense in terms of what they wanted and how they achieved those objectives. So anyway, this whiny lizard bitch here can just go and shut the fuck up, basically. That's the end result of this. Here we got some more. Here we got some more fascinating stuff. Look at this. Bernard Henri Lévy decided to crawl out of the sewers for once. I haven't seen him in a while. I wonder what cloaca, what underground, crypto tunnels he's been hiding in. But I haven't seen him in a while. But he finally crawled out of one of those tunnels there in order to congratulate his Jewish friend, his pal, Zelensky. Wisdom, cold blood service of his people. cold blood, it's technically a comma there, right? Cold blood service of his people. Yeah, that's what he's known for. And, not last, heroism. He has it all. For this, he deserves no less than respect, unconditional friendship, and victory. I'd actually like to see Ukrainians succeed as well. And part of that, of course, is to not kill an entire generation of Ukrainians. Call me crazy, because then you're a Putin supporter or something like that. But there was some good developments, granted, with the peace negotiations and deals. And as usual with these things, it's hard to buy it. It's hard to know, you know, all the requirements all the things in the fine print, and if there's enough absurd things that would cause, I guess, Russia to reject a peace agreement. But if we take it at face value, I guess we could just play a minute of this in regards to this, where Rubio, and I don't trust him at all, obviously, and the, the National Security Advisor or something like that, I forget what his position is, the other guy talking there, regarding basically Ukraine's, how they accept a 30-day truce, which seems to be at least desired to be negotiated between, U.S. and Russia by the U.S. Let's listen a couple of minutes here.
We'll take this offer now to the Russians, and we hope that they'll say yes, that they'll say yes to peace. The ball is now in their court. And but again, the president's objective here is number one, above everything else, he wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We hope the Russians will reciprocate.
Well, just to add to the secretary's comments, the Ukrainian delegation today made something very clear, that they share President Trump's vision for peace. They share his determination to end the fighting, to end the killing, to end the tragic kind of meat grinder of people and national treasure that's happening on the front in Ukraine, number one. Number two, they made concrete steps and concrete proposals, not only accepting our proposal for a full ceasefire, which you can see the details of which are in our joint statement that we released together. But we also got into substantive details,
President Trump's national security advisor,
on how this war is going to permanently end, what type of guarantees they're going to have for their long-term security and prosperity, but also really looking at what it's going to take to finally end this the horrific fighting. The other piece that I just want to make very clear is President Trump started this diplomatic effort in the Oval Office, talking to both leaders, both President Putin and President Zelensky back to back. And now that shuttle diplomacy continues. We have a named delegation in terms of next steps from the Russian side. We have a named delegation in terms of next steps from the Ukrainian side. I will talk to my Russian counterpart in the coming days. Secretary Rubio will be with G7 foreign ministers in the next couple of days. We have the NATO Secretary General in the White House on Thursday, and we'll take the process forward from there. So as a result of that, and I think as a result of this positive step forward, the president has decided to lift the pause on aid and on our security assistance to Ukraine going forward. And that's
all right. All right. Anyway, so that's one of the press conferences there. Was it yesterday this happened or something like that? So again, they say the ball is in Russia's court, so we'll see what they do, if anything. I would assume if there's something like a ridiculous, maybe not a demand, but a requirement for the truce, that they would just go on to say that or whatnot, you know what I mean? Unless, of course, the actual full communication is flying around and is actually readily available out there. But you know, regardless, I'm not sure. I mean, look, these are also people that have screwed over and used Ukraine for such a long time that I'm kind of like, what's the deal? What's the gimmick, right? And again, that's why I think a Bernard Henri Lévy comes out of the sewers, basically, to like, basically, hey, look, buddy, you know, let's not make some kind of rash decision here right now. Things are going good. Both Ukrainians and Russians are dying. And we're making a shit ton of money on this, too, by the way. Of course, that doesn't always make Putin sensible, obviously, right? As we've talked about, I'm no fan of Russia's actions or Putin's and people around him, advisors and foreign ministry and all this stuff and all their dumb, retarded comments. And they don't actually, as far as I know, anyway, they don't really have done any major expose of actually who's really behind the meddling in Ukraine. Possibly because the very same forces are still meddling in Russia, some people would say. I wouldn't be surprised. But regardless, You know, Chabad and so forth, obviously, is obviously one, you know, powerful partner or player in all of this. But there's a lot you can say about Jewish neoconservatives. There's a lot you can say about former ex-Jewish oligarchs that Putin himself kicked out of the country. And I'm sure over time they've dropped a little bit here, a little bit there. But it's not like this. These are the people responsible. Instead, it's this like, oh, it's the Nazis and the Anglo-Saxons. I've been over this many times. I'm not going to relitigate all of this. That to me indicates a level of insincerity, which means you can't trust them, which means something else is going on. Either they're playing their part, or literally their objectives are just retarded. I don't know. Look, at the time, I could kind of understand, like, if they kept pushing Ukraine, they kept opting for NATO membership, they kept opting for nukes on their soil, they had built bioplants on their soil, they had basically instigated meddling, gay-opt, cooed, like, everything they could over the last couple of decades, right? I understood, like, okay, like, this would be, you know, it's like the Cuban Missile Crisis or whatever, right? That this would be like, the Soviet Union coming in, putting, you know, missiles on, nuclear warheads and shit in Mexico and you know, putting, you know, Soviet puppets in charge of Mexico. Like, I get you have to just look at it from that point of view. But then since then, there's been, like, a lot of these just weird, bizarre, retarded comments and, like, blaming racists in the West and, you know, like, there's this clear ideological separation now with Europe, too. It's like, now, actually, all around, that's what's so bizarre about it, right? People have talked about the, you know, kind of how, you know, Trump and Putin's Chabad connections. And maybe that's part of the glue. Maybe it's not. That could be debated. But it is interesting how it's like, now kind of everyone is blaming Europe. Now, like, Europe is the problem. Now, the EU is the problem. I agree with that. But not Europe, right? These are two different entities. Just like the occupied government of you know, the U.S. is not the American people and so forth. But anyway, Putin threatens to treat Ukrainian soldiers in Kursk as terrorists ahead of U.S. envoy's Moscow visit. Yeah, there's like shit like this. Russian president makes threats in first visit since Ukrainian incursion as world waits for Kremlin's reaction to ceasefire proposals. We haven't heard anything yet. Anyway, he showed up, I guess, in Zelensky style. He showed up in his fatigues for the first time. Is this ever? Is this some symbolic gesture here that this is not going to happen? They're going to keep going? I still don't buy this, that it will, like, they're going to take over Ukraine, all of it, and then they're going to take over Poland, and then they're going to take over Germany. And I think that's just like an establishment ruse to keep the money flowing and the funds doing. And they will ask and demand massive reformation and more power. And obviously, as we've seen already, massive amounts of funds for arms by the European bureaucratic elite, obviously. Not that we don't need to be strong. Obviously, we need to be strong. We should be, you know, defending ourselves and whatnot. I think it's good that America is separating if this is truly what they're doing. I think still there's a hook at the end of that coming. But initially, we just have to reflect on the reality that Ursula von der Leyen is not all of a sudden a pro-European, you know, ethno-nationalist who now has decided to. In fact, the best thing we can do now is to make sure that all the Europeans are safe. These are the very same people that have made Europe or the EU zone unsafe by promoting massive amounts of immigration, by promoting all the COVID bullshit with the vaccine. They've made us sicker and weaker. They have demonized nationalism. They've censored. They've attacked nationalist groups. They've outlawed nationalist parties. If not directed, the EU has been encouraged, of course, to do it on a national level like they're doing in they've done it in Greece, Romania, all that stuff, like passing laws. And anyway, so I don't trust these people. I trust none of them. I think that should be abundantly clear at this point. And we don't know whose objectives or whom they serve ultimately. And I think we have a good idea, but sometimes questions remain, like, what is happening here? But anyway, so I won't say it's completely useless to try. Obviously, this is what we've called for from day one is have some goddamn negotiations, sit down and try to sort this out instead of killing each other. I think that's a good idea. But I think there's a lot of people that do not want that. They actually want the war to continue because this is lining pockets and it's genocide against more white people, more white Slavs, right? So, yeah, Trump threatens very bad things for Putin if he doesn't end war. So we'll see. This is the usual flip-flop back and forth and threats and this and that. I don't think Trump is aligned with Putin just because he says, you know, things like this and, you know, whatever. But interests on the back end might very well be. And it could even be interests that significantly pull the strings. So that I'm aware of. But we'll see. We'll see. If we can get a ceasefire, 30-day truce, and then out of that, like, negotiate what's going to happen with, you know, Donbass and Luhansk and, you know, that region like that, then that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. I don't know why you would be against that. And I think there's a lot of just, even I see even people on the, you know, white nationalists and people on the right who are like kind of falling for this. They don't understand who they're serving. They don't understand who instigated this. They don't understand, or maybe they do, but they just disregard it because Putin bad. And yeah, he's bad on certain things, or some things he's horrible on, and other things he's been, you know, decent on. It truly isn't just a black and white issue. But regardless, like, if you believe the propaganda of these same people that, like, he, you know, it will just, unless the money and the guns keep flowing, that somehow there's going to be some, like, it's the same gay, stupid Hitler programming. Like, he wants to take over the world, you know, kind of thing. I mean, that if it goes into Poland, Article 5 of NATO will be triggered, and then NATO is legally obligated to attack. Why would and then people would argue, well, that's why Ukraine wants to be part of it as well, you see. Yeah, but it was when the agreements were made, what, early 90s, Jeffrey Sachs has most of the history on this. He doesn't recognize who's behind it, Jeffrey Sachs, but he's fairly good on, you know, the timeline and the history of many of these points, right? Of, you know, NATO basically promising we will not advance further to the east. Fine, you know, kind of thing. And then, of course, it continued Baltic, you know, countries and Romania and Poland, Hungary, you name it. And almost recently Sweden and Finland, which, of course, kind of put a target on you, in fact. But if they hadn't continued to push for that, I think it would be a far better situation, especially after, you know, the fall of the wall and all that shit. But anyway, it is what it is. We'll see what comes out of it. It's somewhat encouraging. Here's some other good news. They're very upset here about this woman who apparently is working at the Pentagon, Cortez. What was her first name? Was it Sarah as well? Was it Sarah Cortez? I think it was. Sorry, King, it's right there. No, that's the those who appointed. That's right. Why don't they mention her name? I think it was a Cortez. It's a based Latina here. Stop anti-Semitism is deeply concerned by Kingsley Wilson's appointment. That's not her name, though. It's Cortez. Am I getting that wrong? I could have sworn that I saw. I could have sworn. I got to confirm that now. I just had an article up about this, like, yesterday. It irritates me, so I got to find it now. Let me see here. Kingsley Wilson. Let me see what this one's at here. Am I totally just misremembering this? No, Kingsley Wilson. What was it? Let me just hear. Oh, Steve Cortez. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's me. So it's me who's retarded. Okay, there you go. Oh, she's the daughter of Trump advisor. Okay, Steve Cortez. There it is. That's hence my confusion. I thought she was a Cortez too. All right. Okay. Well, I assume she's married, and that's why she got Wilson. Anyway, so that makes her Cortez. So technically, I'm right. Technically, she's a Latina. Anyway, Kingsley Wilson's appointment as deputy press secretary for the Pentagon. These are the charges here, right? Spread debunked lies that Leo Frank raped a child and framed a black man. That's historically true, right? Check. Claims Jewish organizations worked with the KKK and Freemasons to stop the American Revolution. And then they did a retraction on this here. Correction. The statement about Jewish organizations, the KKK and Freemasons, was made by Candace Owens, not Kingsley Wilson, with so many anti-Semites pushing conspiracy theories. The lines can blur. Ugh. All right. Opposes U.S. aid to Israel. Oh, no. How dare she? Pushes the anti-Semitic replacement theory. Yeah, well, that's also true, obviously. Promotes neo-Nazi propaganda. She sounds very based, actually. Good. Good for her. Hopefully she gets to stay. It's always a good time when they're kvetching and whining and are very upset about these kinds of things. So I'm encouraged by the Pentagon, and I hope they do not investigate. However, with the deportation of this Palestinian Hamas pro-protester in Columbia University, doesn't look like it. In fact, it looks like they're going to start deporting anti-Semites en masse. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong on that, obviously. Anyway, hopefully she gets to stay. It's good to see them. I'm not sure when she made the comments. It wasn't immediately clear when she made some of the posts that they, you know, charge her for whatever. But that means they keep an eye, keenly an eye. As soon as there's names popping up, they look through them. They look their social media accounts. All these Jewish organizations are there. Like, is this good for the Jews? is this going to be good for Israel? And they kvetch and they whine. And I mean, to their credit, right? This is what we need as well. Said that point about Mark Carney being elected. Immediately, it was the entire Jewish media, and I'm saying that the literal, like all the Jewish press, right? The you know, the Jewish Daily Forward and Jewish you know, Chronicle and Haaretz, whatever you name it, Jerusalem Post, whatever. They're all out. Articles by Mike Carney. How is it with Israel? Is he good with Israel? Is he, what does he say? He's a wild card on the Jews, this guy. We don't know, you know. And it's like, oh, he's a World Economic Forum puppet. He's like, he's friends with Ghislaine Maxwell. He's a central banker. It's the same, like, yeah, look, this is none of these people are going to hurt your gang, okay? Your little criminal network you got going there. It's going to be just fine with a central banker like Mark Carney in there. Anyway, to their credit, that's what I'm going to say. To their credit, they have press, they have media, they have institutional push and lobby groups and NGOs out there, and they're pushing their causes. And I said this in the Western Warrior Show, but I said we should also have those types of groups that are out there and saying, what about Mark Carney? How will he be for white Canadians? Where does he stand on the white Canadian, you know, issue? Is he good for white Canadians? Is he good for European Canadians? Oh, and also, how is he with the European motherland back home? Is he good with our brothers and sisters in Europe? Those should be discussions, right? Of the white press. So, you know, again, it's one thing they do right. Okay. All right, let's... yeah, she looks white to me. Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's a... She looks like a European Spaniard Cortez, right? Mexican or something, right? Obviously, you know, well, maybe the Mexican part is not much there at all. I don't know, but they could just be straight from Spain. Who knows? But yeah, based Latina. Latina is still Latinos. That's a Latin speaking countries. That's Italy, Spain, Portugal. Right, so that's Latinos, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, whatever. The other ones are South Americans, aren't they? Anyway, okay. High caste Latina. I'll take it. Okay. Anyway, enough with the racial purity spiraling, Henrik. Here, come on, let's move. Oh yeah, this one too. Before we get into the fake anti-Semitic hate crime bullshit in Australia, Here's daily life. Speaking of no-go zones, daily life for many Europeans in European lands. And I love, I've seen that lately too, by the way, comments, snarky, kind of snide comments about how by American, like, politicians, there's some conservative influenced voices as well, kind of MAGA people. Yeah, we gotta watch out so we don't end up like Europe, you know, kind of thing. It's like, yeah, it wasn't Europeans that chose these kinds of things. This was lobby groups, right? Pressure groups, international pressure, actually. And it's funny because many of these migrants, of course, actually are in Europe because of displacement by Jewish neocons in America. They've been dictating foreign policy. But let's not get into details about what the justification for why we must open our hearts and let these people in, because that's just, that's, of course, not America, American foreign policy. I don't mean Americans, but I'm saying those running American foreign policy had nothing to do with the fact that Europe turned into a shithole. You know, pushing for European integration after the Second World War and the Marshall Fund and NATO and the Pentagon and stay behind armies, and then you have the USAID program. But anyway, those are details. Here it is. A father asks a group of young Syrians 14 to 18, to leave a playground so that his children can play there. They attack him, beat him up in front of his children. Deport this despicable Afro-Arabs. Only remigration keeps our playground safe. Here they are. Wonderful people, aren't they? they don't even bother to speak German. I'm glad they don't, in a way. But these are the new conditions now in places like Germany. I wonder why people are sick and fed up with this shit, right? Now here's some of the solutions, of course. Good for the Italians, the OG Latinos. Let's do that, shall we? Let's reclaim the title. In Milan, citizens' anti-crime patrols have begun. A group of Italians called Article 52 in an anti-crime patrol captures a North African who just stole a necklace. They claim they want to restore order lost due to the invasion of false asylum seekers who commit countless crimes. Now, it should be mentioned, this is the Filipino-Malaysian guy here, right? Radio Genoa. So, there's no article that confirms that this is actually what he might just be fucking making this up. Anyway, I hope that's what this is. I hope Article 52 is the real deal and this is actually what they're doing. But regardless, let's check it out. Slow motion. Nice. We're treated to some slow motion, folks, here. Maximize the enjoyment of seeing criminals dealt with on the streets, because our system will not do it. Our criminal justice system will not do those kinds of things. In fact, they will look the other way. They'll give them more money to try to rehabilitate them. They want these people to fit in. They want our daughters to marry these guys. That's what the European elite wants. And the more they steal and rob and beat us up, the less likely that is. So I guess in a way, thank you for acting like fucking asshats in our countries, because that's not going to help. Basically, this is the short version of what you have to do. Migrants peeing in your waters. Just push them down in the water. There you go. That's it. Nice and sweet. Symbolically speaking, this is what needs to be done to all of them. Just back in the water to where you came from, basically. that's the solution. That's the method, and that's the way forward. All right. So, yeah, I forgot to mention that earlier. Greg Reese quit InfoWars, or he left InfoWars? Interesting. Okay, yeah. Cynerix on the Rumble chat says that. Okay, well, there you go. I wonder if it's over disagreements of that. I just know he was much more critical of, like, Musk, and I think even Trump, and where that was going and stuff like that. So anyway, all right, I'll ask him about it. Interesting. Okie dokie. All right, so let's touch on the Australian thing here for a little bit. This is very interesting, very telling, and I think it's indicative of a tactic, obviously, that is employed many times to attack Western society and use these hate speech laws and things like this in order to, basically break down any type of resistance to, whether it's open borders and migration or resistance to exposing activist groups that are lobbying for these kinds of anti-white policies, or again helping to bring in migrants or stuff like that, right? So caravan full of explosives was a fake anti-Semitic terrorism plot, cops confirm. An explosive laden caravan found in Sydney was a fake anti-Semitic terror plot concocted by criminals and never an actual threat, police have confirmed. The discovery of the caravan in Dural, which also contained Jewish addresses and a note saying, fuck the Jews, but no detonator, was described by New South Wales Premier Chris Minns as terrorism and a, quote, potential mass casualty event, unquote, as soon as the investigation was made public in late January. Weeks later, Mr. Minns brought in controversial new hate speech laws, calling them a strong response to anti-Semitism, while the federal government also cited a spat of alleged anti-Semitic attacks for pushing through its own hate crime bill, which passed with bipartisan support. However, on Monday, and this is interesting, right? Because now it's been passed, come into play, now they release information that reveals. I don't even know why they do that. Is it a humiliation ritual? It was all fun. No, because that doesn't serve the Jewish community in Australia. These are the kinds of things that create so-called anti-Semitism, is it not? Right? So isn't it better if they just shut up about it? But anyway, for whatever reason, maybe it's a legal thing. They have to reveal that it's like, this was the investigation. We can't, no one wants to be held accountable for potentially covering up information or something like that. I don't know. So on Monday, the Australian Federal Police revealed that, quote, almost immediately experienced investigators within the JCTT, which is the New South Wales Joint Counterterrorism Team, believed that the caravan was part of a fabricated terrorism plot, essentially a criminal con job. AFP Deputy Commissioner National Security Chrissy Barrett said that the public was not informed until today because the JCTT was investigating a continual series of tip-offs, now also determined to be fake. Yeah, so they did fake tip-offs to keep the investigation going until the hate speech law was passed. And then those stops, now the investigation concludes, and now they can talk about it. It's amazing. Amazing how coordinated this is. I can reveal that the caravan was never going to cause a mass casualty event, but instead was concocted by criminals who wanted to cause fear for personal benefit, she said. Now, there's another trail to this, too, where it's believed that this criminal network here were basically paid off to do this. In fact, I have one. Did I not include that one clip of them talking about this? Listen to how it's flip-flopped here.
Clearly, police are very concerned, and the community is very concerned about the rising number of anti-Semitic attacks in our community escalating to the point where there was a mass casualty event.
Today, I can reveal that the caravan was never going to cause a mass casualty event, but instead was concocted by criminals who wanted to cause fear for personal benefit.
For personal, personal benefit in the sense that they got money to do it. That's what I guess what they mean, right? We're now confident that all these tip-offs were fabricated and the caravan plot was an elaborate scheme contrived by organized criminals. Man, what's with the anti-Semitism here? New South Wales Police Department? Both domestically and from ashores, an international criminal clique, a little cabal of ruthless cosmopolitans did this. We believe the person pulling the strings wanted changes to their criminal status, but maintained a distance from the scheme and hired alleged local criminals to carry out parts of their plan. She said an operational strategy was underway to take down the mastermind behind the fake terror plot in conjunction with overseas law enforcement agencies. Interesting. Well, that's true too, right? Sometimes Jack Rubenstein you. They, taking out Lee Hart, you have a criminal doing something, or a patsy even, and then you kill them, you take them out, to make sure that the trail runs cold, right? Those creating fake terror threats, including using anti-Semitism to elicit a desired response from law enforcement or the courts, face being charged for creating fake plots. And unfortunately for them, they will face the full experience, capability, and dogged determination of terrorism investigators, she said. All right. Interesting, right? Anyway, it's a very involved story. There's a lot of articles about that. They knew it was a lie. It was a follow-up from the noticer here, too. The Australian Federal Police and the New South Wales Police have just announced what we knew all along, that the recent wave of anti-Semitic terrorist attacks was completely fabricated. The attacks were committed by organized criminal groups who were acting purely for profit, funded and directed by a still unnamed third party. Wouldn't it be interesting if they know who that third party is, but they haven't come out or talked about it yet? Man, I hope that's revealed. Usually they cover it. It's a front group for a front group for a front group or something like that. Money flows down a chain, hopefully, from that point of view, to separate it. But I'm saying this wouldn't be the first time that a rabbi goes out and draws a swastika on the synagogue to blame Nazis, and voila, magically you get more funding, you get more sympathy, you get special protection. This is a classic MO. Classic. And it's done probably more times than we think it does, right? That this occurs, these kinds of things. But now they're on the trail of this or something, and I hope this blows up in their face, obviously. But it's interesting how they played along with this, and people in Australian government have used this as the excuse to pass these new laws. So, of course, obviously, now there's calls to repeal these new hate speech laws. Why? Well, because we're based on a phony fake story. It was literally a paid for law, a desired outcome at that time. Now, what are they worried about? Why now? Well, I think it basically is down to things like Thomas Sowell and Jacob Hersant and Joel Davis and Blair Cottrell and these guys and what they're doing in Australia and their activism and things like this. And that could very well be the motivating factor of why they want to try to criminalize basically their behavior and their groups and their organizations, or what they say, at least, so they can put them in the slammer. So now there's push to repeal new hate speech laws after Sydney Caravan exposed as fake terror plot, false flag. Free speech advocates are pushing for controversial new hate speech laws to be repealed after police revealed a hyped up caravan terrorist plot was a hoax and a series of graffiti, firebombings, and vandalism attacks on the Jewish community in Sydney because of orchestrated by crime figures, as we said. Australian Federal Police on Monday relitigating that point of what we just mentioned, basically that this is all fake. This legislation would not have existed without these incidences, and after yesterday's revelation, it is now very likely that they were based on the false pretenses of criminals. In the next sitting week of Parliament, I will introduce repeal legislation to remove these illegitimate laws. Free speech matter more than bad laws. Was this... is that Chrissy Barrett saying that? I guess that's her... Oh, his. Sorry, Chrissy. Chrissy sounds like a girl. Man, you got a girl name. Sorry, Chrissy. Chrissy Barrett. Anyway, that's a he, I guess. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's good. That's what needs to happen. There was a couple of clips here. A thread from, Comfy Friend had this here. Australian government has passed hate speech laws in response to a wave of anti-Semitic incidents. However, their narrative is now crumbling. Here's some of the, initial coverage by none other than Rebel News. We'll return to them in a little bit here, too. Yemeni over there. Yumping Yemeni. What's his name again? Ari Yemeni? Is that what it is? Avi Yemeni. We have an instance of arson attacks and anti-Semitic graffiti across Sydney featuring reversed swastikas and Israel misspelled. I don't think that stuff... I could be wrong on this. Maybe you guys have a theory on this too, but you know, because there's those memes, right, of like these the most strangely weird convoluted swastikas, you know, drawn, and it, like these people can't even do it right. I don't think it's because they want to say the people who did it are kind of like, you know, oh, they're low IQ, dumb idiots, and they don't even. I think it's at least the swastika part. I think they see that as such a powerful, like, talismanic, occult, just supercharged symbol that they like they wouldn't even dare to do the real thing on there. So, I don't know what's going on with that, but maybe it is indicative of the fact that they've paid off a retard then to do it or something. Anyway, we can speculate in there all day long, but it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, they really did the meme, exactly. Federal police are now investigating crypto payments from foreign governments to petty criminals for these acts. Interesting.
I watched the news reports, and when your offender can't spell Israel and sprays a swastika on back to front, I don't think they've really got any deep-seated anti-Semitism in them. I watched the news.
Yeah, there's something to that, isn't it? That's funny. As a bonus, here's a Jew who looks around 50 years old, reacting to some of the fake anti-Semitic graffiti described above by claiming her father died in the Holocaust. For those struggling with math, she would need to be at the very least, 80 years old if her father had died during World War II. Slow today, huh?
Do you mind if I ask you why you were so upset about it?
Because my father was killed in the Holocaust. That's how it
starts. Man, what kind of babies is... What kind of stem cells is that lady eating? Wow. 80 years old, huh? Man. Not the grandfather, but her father. Okay. Yvonne Strasser, Jewish resident. Oy vey. All right. Well, that was funny. Okay, what do we have next up? The caravan full of explosives. This is a presumably a little longer clip here from what we already saw, but let's kind of enjoy this, so let's check it out.
Almost immediately, experienced investigators within the joint counterterrorism team believed that the caravan was part of a fabricated terrorist plot, essentially a criminal con job. This was because of the information they already had, how easily the caravan...
This is a massive scandal, and it should be treated as such. If you can find international ties, I mean, if it's domestically, obviously, but I'm saying if it's like international ties to ham up these fake and gay hate crime, you know, terror, that's what I was going with, terror crimes, in order to get laws passed that, let's face it, will disproportionately be disincentivized or let's be simple, bad for white people. It'd be bad for white people. Okay, that's what it would be. It would put a limit on what they can say and how they can say it, because of course these hate speech laws don't have any protection, you know, for the white Australian population and things like that. So it's not like that, you know, recent arrived invaders somehow would be charged because they said something bad about a white Australian. This would be bad for white Australians. It would disproportionately negatively affect them. This should be a lot bigger news than it is right now, to be honest.
Van was found, and how visible the explosives were in the caravan. Also, there was no detonator. Today, I can reveal that the caravan was never.
So they weren't even. It would never have been able to pull this off, what they intended to do.
Not going to cause a mass casualty event, but instead was concocted by criminals who wanted to cause fear for personal benefit. What organized crime has done to the Jewish community is reprehensible, and it won't go without consequences. There was also unwarranted...
What are the chances that they paid for it? How likely is that on a scale... from 1 to 10. 10 being the highest. 6 million? I don't know. Something like that.
unwarranted suspicion directed at other communities, and that is also reprehensible. Those creating fake terror threats, including using anti-Semitism to elicit a desired response from law enforcement or the courts, face being charged for creating fake plots.
Yeah, we read that. We read that part, right? Yeah, I remember this one. We didn't cover it at the time. Finally, nurses were baited by an Israeli on TikTok into saying they murder Israelis in their hospitals. I remember seeing this clip going on. We didn't play it at the time because it just seemed so silly. And again, I don't think you have to. You don't have to direct people to say something about this or cover it in this kind of way. It's enough. The lines are drawn in the sand. People have chosen their team. Are you counter-Semitic or are you philo-Semitic? That, you know, that's basically what it is. I mean, most of the shit on Twitter now is that it's that. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. And so immediately it was boom, fire all, get out there. Oh, look at these crazy Muslims, without addressing of the issue of why Australia looks the way it does demographically, and again, whose interests that represents or whatever. Okay, a comfort friend here says, to summarize, the Australian federal government and states are enacting anti-freedom laws based on hoaxes and the stupidity of Muslim invaders. These laws will disproportionately target, as I said, peaceful Australian white, say, patriots, who speak out about Jewish power. It's time to repeal these anti-freedom laws, which were passed due to hoaxes and brown stupidity, as it will restrict free expressions for all Australians. Yeah, will they, though? That's the thing. Will they? I'll be very surprised if they do, in any kind of way, at least disproportionately target other individuals. But anyway, okay, so there you have it. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, another good news, I guess, for the Australian lads down under is that this arrest that we covered, what is this, 3-4 weeks ago? Maybe it's a little bit more than that now. Nationalist arrested for celebrating Australia Day in Adelaide has ridiculous charges dropped. So good news. But it's about also, though, the fact that they keep disrupting, they keep arresting. How many times have they done shit like this now? Where they arrest or they harass a peaceful, protest or march or demonstration, or they're doing one of their flash mob things and, you know, whatever. And so they're like, no, you're not allowed to do it. Well, technically you were, because afterwards you were, we dropped the charges and we couldn't do anything. But it's about the constant harassment, right? Why? Like this. And I think that's part of the reason why they want those laws as well, right? It's already outlawed to hold your hand in a 45-degree angle in Australia. I believe that's now the law of the land down there, right, isn't it? So there was Jacob Hursant was one of the first ones, I think, charged for that. He was like jokely. He didn't even do it with real oomph and dedication. It was funny nonetheless, right? But he threw up his arm real quick after the media, right? And he was one of the first ones, I think, charged for having his arm in a 45-degree angle, ladies and gentlemen. South Australia police have dropped charges against a nationalist activist, or against a nationalist activist who was arrested alongside 15 other men while celebrating Australia Day in Adelaide, and will pay his legal fees. Okay, good. West Australian man James Robinson, 30, appeared in the Adelaide Magistrates Court by phone from Perth on Tuesday, where prosecutors asked leave to withdraw charges of wearing an article of disguise. Oh, that's right. They were wearing sunglasses and a baseball hat. I guess that's a disguise now, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to wear sunglasses and a sun hat in Australia, you better watch out. In addition to that 45-degree angle arm, and displaying a Nazi symbol, 9 News reported. The latter charges was laid in relation to the National Socialist Network, NSN, patch worn by about 70 members of the right-wing activist group as they marched peacefully to Adelaide National War Memorial while waving Australian flags and singing Waltzing Matilda on January 26th. Okay, so that's almost one and a half months ago, something like that. All right, anyway, so they've been charges dropped, which is good news. Of course, that doesn't mean they won't. They will probably do this again and again. But, you know, hey, look, if that's the game they want to play, I guess that's what it is, I guess. Let me see here. What do we have? What 3 on Odyssey. Hey, off and on viewer. Your texts are well synthesized. Whenever you get the chance, could you check on something called Emery's Rule? It posits that for social parasitism to work between groups, one group has to be closely related to the other. It's truly fascinating and a good parallel. Interesting. Okay. Emery's Rule. I haven't heard that. Huh. All right. I'll add a window with that. Interesting. Thank you for that little input. I've not heard of that before. Social parasitism in ants. Yeah, I wonder about that too. Is that because of... Well, I mean, that's true on the not the beneficiary of the parasitism, but the one who's on the losing end of that. They would never accept them if they were too foreign, I believe. But that's interesting. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll look into that later when I have more time. Let's see. McDozer says again here, I just ordered a sweet solar boat mug. Well, thank you. Awesome. I'm going to drink from a mug barefoot in the grass wearing my sweet, sweet solar boat shirt. Well, thank you, McDozer. You're very, very kind. That's awesome. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support. Yeah, they're very nice too. Sturdy camper mug, you know, so you can bang it around tin. It's not going to break anytime soon. We have a black and white one that also has the solar boat on it. Very, very nice as well. It's not as sturdy as the tin one here, obviously, but still very, very nice. Two different ones. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. All right, so let me see. Can we do this one? This is a side, a little bit of a side story. I'm not surprised by this at all. This is the Gay Way Pundit here. UN hypocrites bulldoze thousands of acres of Amazon rainforest for a four-lane highway to climate change summit. Why let protecting the Amazon rainforest get in the way of environmental activism in the lead-up to the COP30 climate summit in Belém, Brazil? A new four-lane highway is cutting through tens of thousands of acres of protected Amazon rainforest. But this is, hey, look, this reminds me of let me see here, what's his name again? What's the current president? Da Silva, right? Lula da Silva. Let me see if I can find this real quick here, because he had cut down more rainforest, I believe, than like Bolsonaro did or some shit like that. Let me see here. Rainforest. Let me see if something comes up on that, an article on that. Let me see here. He was doing a lot more development and slashing and thrashing. Let me see if I'm right about this. New Amazon Dream at Rainforest Summit. Okay, this is part of that one. Okay. Yeah, I said, no, this is lies. I remember the article I said, there's a repair damage done by Bolsonaro. No, this guy had actually done more damage, more development. Here it is. I think this is the one. Amazon deforestation rises for first time in 15 months, right? In Lula's Brazil. That's I think that's the headline I remember there. That's 2024. But yeah, the point is with this is that these fucks don't give a damn about the environment. In fact, they use the environment as an excuse to inflict loss and changes, to restrict behavior and to limit human activity, to clamp down on, you know, private property ownership, you know, private property and ownership of land and things like this, in order to justify their gay, neoliberal, communist, panopticon world that they're building. But also, I think it's also then that justifies it. Like they claim that they're the savers of nature, even the worshippers of nature, ironically. But actually, they're not. That made this argument before. Actually, what they are, they actually want to keep you like away from the. They want to keep you separate from nature. They actually they're probably as anti-nature as you possibly can get, definitely in terms of evidence of their politics. It's not, they don't respect natural law. They don't respect natural hierarchy. Everything they do is, in fact, a fight against nature. And literally in these kinds of cases, yeah, they chop down the forest, and then they say, oh my God, see, we have to do something about all the deforestation. And then, you know, blame the other guy or something like that. It's just simple propaganda. But yeah, so I'm not surprised by this at all. This is going to be... Maybe there's more, yeah, how many, yeah, they're going to invite these tribes there, and it's going to be this, you know, what is it called, noble savage type thing, and this is what they usually do. They're like, well, they're so great and stuff, and the reason why they idolize those people is because they have, you know, they have not industrialized, they haven't done much of anything. I'm not necessarily against them, I don't have anything against those native tribes and whatnot, it's like, just leave them alone or whatever, but I'm saying... That's how they want you. They want you in a fucking loincloth, you know, blowing a poison arrow at some, you know, monkey. Actually, you will not be allowed to do that. There will be AI robots patrolling you, making sure that you keep in line and don't do anything that is harmful to nature. Well, I guess technically, I contradict myself. You will be in a loincloth in a concrete room with a VR headset on. How about that? Thinking you're in nature. That's what they want. Let's be clear about this. Let's be clear about what the goal is here. But anyway, we don't have to read the whole story. This is they always do the same. They talk out their ass and they do one thing complete opposite. But anyway, yeah, I remember that he was like, it was worse than Bolsonaro. He was like breaking a 50-month streak of falling destruction under Lula. And then of course he was like some, you know, great great workers lefty kind of guy, right? Let's check in here on USAID. Saw this story in passing. I'm not surprised by this at all. I'm sure there's a lot more of this. They gave them a lot of time. Kind of like the Epstein thing. Remember how much time it took before they actually went to the island and went through everything? And before that, of course, they had ordered a 3-ton shredder or something to the island and just basically shredded everything, right? Why did USAID send out a directive to staff to shred and burn documents? Yeah, why could it be? Reserve the burn bags for when the shredder becomes unavailable. An email obtained by NBC News has revealed that the U.S. Agency for International Development instructed its Washington staff to shred and burn documents in the wake of DOGE intensely investigating the organization's activities. Now, how does that work? Because I know DOGE is AI, essentially. Most of it is AI. That's why the Enola Gay was flagged, because they had a name Gay in it, and that's, of course, the plane that dropped the atomic bomb. So that was removed from the archives, because no human is like can go through all this. It's too much. They have AI do it. DOGE is about installing, you know, AI governance, essentially. But anyway, this is obviously good that they're exposing this kind of stuff. But anyway... they're doing this thing now where they go through all this line of coding. They go through records, financial, like I assume anything it can get its hands on is what it goes through, right? The databases, the logs, whatever it can, right? But how would you do it if it's actually physical documents? Do they scan them in, or is that the one case where actually humans do look at them? And is there digital copies of what they were shredding? I assume not. Otherwise, what would the point be? So you're telling me that it's a little weird, isn't it? You're telling me they still. Unless these documents are like from the 80s or 90s or something, why would they just have physical documents? I mean, they can have multiple copies, obviously. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there's no digital backup on this? All right, okay. Whatever. Let's hear them out. The email originated from Erica Carr, USAID's acting executive secretary, and thanked workers for their assistance in clearing out classified safes and personal documents. At a time when US AID's past history is most under the gun, and most importantly, to publish publicly what possible benign reason could there be for mass shredding of papers, documents, classified safes, and personal information? Why, or personnel information, why is there no official public communication about the reason? Was this Mike Benz? Yeah, how many times does this happen? Stuff like this, they just do it. It just goes under the radar. It kind of disappears. We don't have to open his tweet there, to be honest. We know Mike Benz. We know his tricks. Here's another one here. The US IDEA building will be soon occupied by Customs and Border Patrol. That's good. This was sent to roughly 36 employees. The documents involved were old. Let me open that in a new tab right there. Mostly courtesy content. Thank you. We got that answered then. Content from other agencies, and the original still exists on classified computer systems. Well, there we go. Okay, so I had it answered right there. So what's the... is it then it's out of spite, I assume? It's not because of security reasons. It's just to make it more harder for them. Just shred as much as you can. Okay, all right. Makes sense. Is someone going to be held accountable? Wasn't this one of the destruction of... wasn't this one of the charges against Trump or something like that around that time when he was... before he got elected, or no, that was running for a long... that was running for a long time, right? He took documents out in the... which you're allowed legally to do as a president or something like that, and they were like, no, you're not. You know, we're gonna indict you, and we're gonna put you in jail for these documents you stole. And in this case, they just let this go. I would assume it's fine. It's way too many of these where they just completely drop the ball, and then they just like... You hear nothing on it, and then nothing comes of it. And he's like, "What? How can they not be charged for crime? Is it destruction of documents? Must be like that. Must be some kind of criminal act or something like that." All right. Anyway, why don't we talk about this lady here, Sam Cedar? You know about him, right? Sam Cedar. I should have pulled up just an image of him. Let me see if I can find... who was it that had a good tweet about this? I think it was it David Santa Clara that had it? Oh, the search is not available there. Okay. Which was pretty interesting. But anyway, Sam Cedar. You know Sam Cedar, right? Majority Report. He's been attacking Lana for quite a few times. He likes that kind of stuff. That's what he does. He's this Jewish host, obviously, over there. He has a retarded co-host as well. Forget her name now. Norwegian last name, I think it is, actually. Unfortunately, I do apologize on behalf of northern people there. But yeah, Vigeland, right? What's her last name? First name again? Man, it's just, she's not very memorable. I guess maybe that's why. But anyway, let's check this out first. And then we'll talk about it. And look, it's this. So this was going around, and this is, you know, overall, I think it's good. I don't want to shit on this. You know, people like this right away, and I think there's also kind of maybe a reflexive immediately. But UK, you cannot discount her history and when these kind of the virality of these kinds of things pop up, right? 11.5 million views, and this is just like one clip. There are many of them going around. Anyway, let's check it out. This is from a internet show, a media company called Jubilee, and they have all these different, basically now political. He wasn't always political, apparently, but now it's very political, and the guy who founded this thing, Yee, I think his name was an Obama appointee. He was working with Obama administration in 2016. It was after Trump was elected, and he's like, I gotta get into politics, bro. Anyway, pardon me. Then he has his number of different shows, kind of under that, you know, Jubilee umbrella. This one's called Surrounded, where people put up flags or something if they, I guess, disagree. Or consider the guy on the spot, in this case, Sam Cedar, if he loses a point, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Anyway, here's the exchange.
European identity.
So your argument is that...
That has been the dominant culture.
Just to be
clear. And we're not letting people assimilate to that. We're saying you should keep your culture, and this is why our culture is so divided.
Argument is that Trump is good for those who want a dominant white European culture.
I mean, that is what America is.
That's not the whole thing, is it? Let me check if this is the one. Was this the one? Looks like that clip just jumped in halfway in. Let me see. Is this the one? Yeah, it's slow today.
I mean, that is what America is.
Okay, no, it's probably the same one. I thought I saw a different where it started a little earlier. Anyway,
rooted in European identity and Christian values. That's what it has been. Would you really disagree with that? What is it then? If that's not the identity of America?
I think the identity of America...
For the majority of time, America's been a country. You don't think that's been the identity?
Well, actually, no. I think actually the identity of America has been, for better or for worse, a melting pot in that regard.
Yeah. Yes. Of course. Imagine that. The Jewish host says, well, it's always been a melting pot.
Yeah, maybe since like the 1960s. Even then, we had this idea of a melting pot literally means assimilation, too. It means melting. It means you're assimilating to the dominant culture. Is that not what melting means?
No, it doesn't
mean
that.
And now instead we're saying there's something wrong with xenophobia.
Dominant culture. No. I mean, look, I got to be honest with you. You and I have a fundamental disagreement. We will never see eye to eye on this. It's a choice.
You can argue the points instead, I guess. Which he doesn't want to do.
And people, I think what you're expressing, though, is really what the Trump movement at its heart is about.
Now, this is a good reply here. She has a good reply, because I don't agree with the melting pot part. I'm not saying she brings up assimilation, let me put it that way, which, of course, is the worst thing that can happen. Necessarily, for the sake of the argument, it doesn't mean she endorses that per se, but at least we want them to assimilate to the dominant culture. The dominant culture is white European, obviously. But if that's what is actually advocated, then yeah, that's even worse. It's better these people stay, separate. But again, you can't, you don't have to put too much. If this is organic and not at all astroturfed, you don't have to put too much pressure on it. It's like, oh, okay, it's a good start. And then you nudge and you can, hey, look, this is bad because then that dominant culture, which means white people, Europeans, will be diluted and disappear, and then you have nothing. Even if you cherish the heritage, the culture, the architecture, and the music more than you do the actual people that produce those very things, then your argument still comes down to the fact, well, if you remove or dilute that population, you also will remove and dilute and ultimately eradicate the product, if you will, or the product sounds wrong, but the expression, let's put it that way, the expression of that particular ethnic group, in this case, white people, the white race, right? So that's my first critique. This was pretty good about Trump, though, of how he's a Democrat from the 80s.
And I think that's problematic.
I disagree. I don't think Trump's anywhere close to being a Christian nationalist. That's ridiculous. Trump's basically a Democrat from 15 years ago when it comes to social issues.
So you don't think that he's conservative enough for you?
Oh, definitely. Nowhere close. No.
He's not xenophobic enough for you?
No, he's trying to pour a bunch of H-1Bs. Are you kidding?
Right. Oh, so you want to get them out, too. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just, absolutely.
No, I think you're making my argument for me.
Not really. But okay, so you had that, and it's millions of views, and oh my God, I didn't know about this one first. This is great. And then the Daily Wire can attack Sam Cedar, and then Sam Cedar can attack the Daily Wire, and whatever. I'm impressed. Oh, this is the one I saw. Here we go. Was this longer in the beginning?
What's the problem with xenophobic nationalism? Don't you think that's better for Americans in general?
Xenophobic nationalism is better.
We should have a coherent culture. Everyone should.
Yeah, this is the first part. This is what I should have looked up right away then or played.
Coherent culture. Everyone should be a part of the same culture. We should have a. What's the problem with xenophobic nationalism? Don't you think that's better for Americans in general?
to like be xenophobic, yes. Nationalism is better.
We should have a coherent culture. Everyone should be a part of the same culture. We should have assimilation.
Which, do you get to choose what the culture is?
We already have a dominant culture.
What is the dominant
culture?
Based on
European and Christian values and identity. That is the dominant culture.
White Christian.
It's rooted in European identity.
White, so your argument is that...
That has been the dominant culture.
Just to be
clear. And we're not letting people assimilate to that. We're saying you should keep your culture, and this is why our culture is so divided.
Yeah, see, that's
now.
I don't know why the other one started here or something. They probably were afraid to share the xenophobic nationalism because then it becomes, it's like an argument about Christian nationalism, but then it becomes, I'm not sure if she brought up xenophobic nationalism. That was probably Sam Cedar that did that. But regardless, that's the point I want to write. And so, you know, no, you don't want them to assimilate. That's the worst thing you can do, because now you do have that melting pot. Now you do have the very vision that Sam Cedar wants, you know, for not for the Jewish race, of course, but for white people and presumably everyone else. So I think it's more about the hatred of whites than it is about any other race, you know. But regardless, just mix everyone out and create the brown sludge, the clergy mutt. That's what they want. So that's... Point one, get schooled on that. That's not good. But it might make sense. Might make sense in terms of why the pivot in this direction. And that, of course, has to do with the fact that she is with Rebel Jews. I'm sorry, Rebel News. Sarah Stock, formerly Ontario-based Canadian-American Sarah Stock, joined Rebel News in 2022, where she worked behind the scenes before reporting on the streets of Toronto in 2024. Now Sarah is located in Southern California, where she reports for Rebel part-time and studies political science. So, according to that, at least, she's still with the Rebel. Some people said, no, she's working with Elijah Schaefer now or something like that. Maybe that's the other part-time then, or I'm not sure. She kind of looks a little bit like Lauren Southern. Am I getting, is this just Lauren Southern 2.0? 2 years behind the scenes. That's 2 years of being schooled on the talking points. Is it not? Because you do wonder a little bit. Yeah, how do they select the individuals for these, you know, viral shows and stuff? And I don't want to be the guy that's always like, everything's fake and gay and ass. Like, I don't want it to be, obviously. Like, I mean, she's just genuine. She worked for Rebel for a time. And, you know, she kind of, she got out of that. Oh, that wasn't that great. They were kind of cucked. I didn't like Ezra's, you know, kind of, you know, drooling over my shoulder and rubbing his head. I don't know, you know, whatever. And so she moved on and, you know, now she works with Elijah Schaefer then, allegedly, apparently, which is, you know, slightly better. Obviously, he's been very good on some things, and he's kind of odd on certain other things, but that's a different thing. Overall, I like Elijah. He's doing good job, good work, obviously. Interviews a lot of, you know, good people and stuff like that. So it's good. He's helping to overall, you know, get the word out, I think. But anyway, so I'm just saying the nature of that, right? Working 2 years behind the scenes, getting school, getting kind of training on that, you know. And so you wonder how long until the pro-Israel talking points rises up, right? That's one of the questions people have. Assimilationism and Zionism, I guess that's those are the big kind of questions. But this is all it takes now these days to kind of create how many of these other women or girls have we seen over the last couple? And again, I don't want to be the guy that's kind of like, oh, this is, you know, all it's fake and gay and ass. I'm just looking at the available, like, if there's no evidence or they don't have any other ties, yeah, I'll take them. Until evidence shows up that this was planted or planned by someone to derail it or just get, you know, guys to thirst after some, you know, e-celebrity or I don't know, whatever. Unless evidence arises, okay, good. There are young women out there talking about these kinds of things. Great, you know. So I don't want to be that guy. You get it clear. I remember too, Lana's gotten that many times too. It's like, oh, she doesn't write her own scripts. So who's paying for them? That was more maybe leftist at that point. Ah, there was some maybe voices on... at least who claim we're more, you know, aligned with many of our views and stuff. Oh, it's got to be, you know, fake. This is fake. No one would, you know. So you know, we can't understand how it is to be the receiving end of that. So I'm very generous. I'll give a lot of rope, you know, on these kinds of things. And we'll see how it plays out. However, when I come, you know, someone linked up a screenshot. I think it was Adam Green, No More News, linked up a screenshot of this, and was like, oh, whoops. You know, he said, like, meet Lauren Southern 2.0. Then you're like, oh, okay. All right, let's see where this... How long before it becomes some weird pivot? What was the other girl's name? And then she hang out with the Lee Kwon Do, whatever. What was his name again? The Asian there or something? I don't know if they were an item or not, but they claim they know all these things, and that they make some weird, retarded stuff. Anyway, there's a conveyor. But here we go, exactly. Join the rebel in Israel. Man, he's a beaut. Ezra. So now she's only working part time. I guess that's good, right? I don't obviously tune into Rebel anymore for like a couple of times in like 2014. Like, oh, what is this? Rebel? What is this Ezra guy? He's kind of odd. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that was too bad. Okay, next. So I haven't seen how much she's actually, you know, kind of doing for them. But you wonder about these kinds of things right now, and so now we were, you know, cultural assimilation, and well, usually it slices on the Israel question, you know, to be honest. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but yeah, Sarah Stock, real and straight in a world that's fake and gay. Slightly offensive, vigilant news. Okay, so she does not list Rebel Media, at least in her bio, but we'll see. You never know. What was it? Elijah was with Blaze initially, was he? He was with Blaze? And I forget what the fallout was about. Was it about the e-drama shit? But it was Watson, right? Wasn't that what it was? Susie? What was her first name? Sarah Watson? Susie Watson? Sarah Watson? Something like that. Some accusations, basically. But yeah. So it's very easy. It's very easy to dunk and goof on a Sam Cedar, which is fun to do. I'm not saying that, right? The big question is, is there anyone that's desiring right wingers to win these kinds of things of sort? I don't think Sam Cedar is in on this. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, just I'm saying, like, at a time like this, in order to police and control and kind of contain this, to make sure that these opinions of people don't get out of hand, it's not far-fetched to say that there are interests, powerful and well-funded interests, that would be very happy to supply you with an endless string of influencers that keep you over here and over there and over, you know, wherever it is, except looking at who's in charge and who's running things, essentially. Now, I don't know where she stands on those questions. So that's out in the open. And that's why I'm not going to say that she's astroturfed and it's fake. That's why I put a question mark in the title. Like, is it more of that? Because we've certainly seen a lot of that. And with the background in Rebel, then it gets dicey. Goddamn quick. All right, here's another one, by the way. So she hangs out with, I don't know. Kevin Roberts, Texas, Project 2025, back in motion. When was this from? March. This is just a few days ago. So already he's from Heritage, right? And these are, of course, yeah, Project 2025. These are the same people that are behind Project Esther, which is this proposal plan on how America should deal with anti-Semitism, so-called anti-Semitism, and not sufficient support for Israel, essentially, right? So I don't trust these guys at all, obviously. Some things in Project 2025 that I was like, all right, okay, well, that's decent or whatever, right? But many other things, this is cucked milk toast conservatism, essentially, right? So is this strong enough? Do you know what I mean? And we're so desperate to have some kind of voices on this front, but it's interesting if it's true that it's managed and kind of the outcomes are in somewhat way kind of manicured. I'm not saying she's not, you know, kind of her own girl, her own woman, her own young woman, but you wonder about these kinds of things. So it's too early to tell. Let's see how it plays out. Let's give her time. It could be good if she's adjacent enough to Elijah. I would assume that that's a good sign, right? But this stuff, you know, Kevin Roberts from Heritage Foundation and all that stuff. Oof. No good. She's holding his, if you can see that too. Taking back Washington to save America. Do you think there's a lot about like AIPAC control and, you know, Jewish domination of a disproportionate Jewish control of Washington in there? Where's the tweet again here? She is with a copy of the book there in hand, by the way. All right, so let's see where this is going. Maybe Thorne Southern 2.0 or something else. Here is the organization that I was talking about, Jubilee Media, LA-based media company. So, you know, how do they pick the... What's the pool of people they pick from and who propose? Yeah, there's a lot of questions, right? Because it's like Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk has been on there as well, right? So they have a number of these different series, right? Ask Me Everything, Eating with the Enemy. Was that one segment where that Asian guy was talking to Jared Taylor? I don't know if that's what it was, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it was. Middle Ground Odd One Out, and of course what we were saying was Surrounded, right? Where a prominent political figure is surrounded by and debates several opponents. Anyway, they got millions of views, featured on BuzzFeed and stuff. So this is this new kind of, independent, what used to be independent media, or some people call it even alternative mainstream media now, essentially, has taken over. And there's kind of a crossover, and things like this, I think, would help to kind of boost the general narrative of the other side. I think this guy is originally a lefty, and I think it's on his page here. Here he is, the founder, and I think that was... Did we miss that on... Yeah, Jason Y. Lee. He founded it as a non-profit company back in 2010, and then transitioned it to a profit company in 2017 after raising $650,000. In September 2022, Jubilee announced they had raised over $1 million. And it launched a new channel called Nectar, centered around romantic relationships. Jubilee's YouTube content shifted towards politics after 2016 U.S. presidential election. Lee, disappointed by the division in the U.S., sought to create content encouraging political discourse across political spectrums. Well, he was working for Obama, as we'll see in a moment. According to Lee, the company is politically neutral and hires producers and editors with a variety of different viewpoints. Okay, so I'm not sure how much he directly has to do with choosing people or whatnot, but since we don't have any other names or know anything else, this is the guy we can look at, essentially. Founder and CEO of Jubilee Media, leader on the business side of the creator economy with focus on empathy and making a positive impact on the world. After graduating from the Wharton School, at the University of Pennsylvania, Jason worked as a consultant at Bain and Company. Isn't that is that Mittens Romney? Isn't that Bain and Company? It was like this weird. Wasn't there some like whole kind of Mormon thing there? What was that again with Bain? I might misremember that, but that rings a bell. Bain and Company. He also previously worked on the 2007. Sorry, I said 2016. Yeah, 2007 Obama campaign, and for the Clinton Health Access Initiative in Zambia, but Jason stepped away from his successful consulting career to follow his poipus, founding Jubilee Media, first as a nonprofit, then transitioning to digital media startup. Jubilee Media creates experiences to promote understanding and create human connection. I don't know, I think it's just driven more wedges, right? What do they, unless I'm wrong about the Jared Taylor thing and Eating with the Enemy, are there any kind of real edgy people that I brought on? I'm not sure, but anyway, whatever. Middle ground, spectrum, odd one out. Yeah, Julie has to help audience more than millions of people. Millions and millions of people are tuning in. As the world becomes more divided and media more divisive than ever, Jubilee wants to just glob it all. Let's unite it all back together, ironically, in a melting pot like the girl kind of proposed. Jubilee swims against the current of bridging people together and create empathy, discourse, and love. Oh, well, it sounds so good, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Sorry, you can't have empathy for people who want to kill you. You shouldn't feel love for people that hate you. And in fact, you're doing the people you love a disservice by thinking that somehow you'll be able to, you know, wheel and deal with these people. I don't say go to war with them. I'm not saying kill them. I say separate. That's what I say. Separate. All right, enough. You fought enough. You over there. You go over here, and this guy goes over there. Okay? Jesus, proud Korean American, and recently reviewed the Digital Influence Award at Character Media's Unforgettable Gala. He shared his incredible career journey at the TEDx Talks. Got all the ingredients here. Weaved it. And has been sought after for events with groups including Spotify Space, Boston College, Wharton Asia Exchange, Bain Alumni Speaker Series, and more. All right, anyway, so that's the guy who set it up. That, of course, as I said, does not mean that he's the guy who picked these people to join on this show or this episode. Or that he had anything to do with the production. But that's the background of the company, and that's, of course, you know, why... Yeah, it's just, you know, my feelings are there's a lot of AstroTurfed out there now to keep people on a plantation and making sure that actually independent content that actually, well, in my view, obviously, offers some solutions, because melting potism is certainly not going to be it, or assimilationism. I hope she changes her mind on that. And of course, I'm happy to see those changes if they do come about. But ultimately, I think it's a hypocritical position. If you are truly concerned, as she said, with the erosion of a dominant culture, then surely segregation of that culture is more important than assimilating other groups into that culture, because that race, ultimately. She didn't use that term, but you know, that's what she means. In this case, white nationalism is a solution, right? As even Matt Walsh, who linked up one of these here, yeah, this one here, right? He did a segment. I happened to see part of it on his show, and even he's skirting all these things and like, oh, they're calling us white nationalists and stuff, and that's ridiculous, and these name calling doesn't work on us anymore. Well, and he recognizes like that was founded as a European nation, and you know, these values were just there because they were Western Europeans, and he said that they were Christian too, and so that's the reason why America is what it is and stuff like that. It's like, okay, yeah, well, yeah, but how do you preserve and protect that then? That's white nationalism, basically. That's white people coming together in this melting pot that. Again, that was much later thing. The only close you would get is E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. But that was, yeah, out of many different, essentially Western European people or countries, you would get a new nation. Right? That's what they mean. They didn't mean the entire world. But anyway, so you got to kind of hammer on those points. You got to stick to that. Like, how do you preserve any of this then, if it's not for letting white people have their own countries and their own spaces? Eventually, this will be eroded. We will disappear if we don't take these hardline positions. Every other group, for the most part, does. Some maybe more publicly and vehemently than others, but at heart, all groups do this. And so you got to plant your flag firmly in that ground. You have to stand your ground. You have to be proud as you say it. No shame, no cowering, no nothing. And we get, you know, collectively we're getting there. And I think, again, I think this, something like this is probably, hopefully, more of a net positive than steering something away. And eventually this girl goes on to, you know, do the same tweets as all these other, you know, from the quartering to Matt, what's his underling, the Mac Maloney. And oh my God, I've seen so many tweets of like, you know, oh, what's with all the Israel hate and, you know, oh, the anti-Semitism. Anyway. because that could very well, you know, you attract enough of a following, you become an social media influencer, a personality that people like and appreciate and follow, and then of course they just like, oh, and also this Israel stuff, okay, that's really cool and based, and all us here, we're pro Israel, you see. We got to be pro Israel because, you know, they're God's chosen people. And, you know, the Tanakh tells us that we have to be. All right. Anyway, I think that's enough of that. Nazarene 7076, that school of finance is a Jesuit school. Oh, Bain Capital, the same school Trump attended. Jesuits are Jews as well. Bain and Capital. So was Mitt Romney, Bain Capital. Yeah, it does come up. Business career. Is that a Jesuit? Truster of Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. That's Rolling Stone, so you gotta take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, okay. Are you talking about UPenn? No. Maybe another school. Anyway, I'm focusing on the Bain Capital. You said school, right? Yeah, that wasn't a school. Sorry, I'm missing your point here. Anyway, all right, we'll investigate that at some point. Yeah, not a school. The school with a W. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I see. Yep, thanks, Nazarene. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll look into that when I have a little bit more time on my hands. I hate to sit here and do research with you guys to figure out. Well, usually we try to do that. I like to do that off the air, right? And then we'll bring you directly the good stuff. But yes, Sam Cedar, let me see if he tweets a lot. David Santa Clara. Yeah, he do have some good memes. Where is that Sam Cedar face? Get another. God damn it. You're tweeting too much, man. Yeah, I can't even find it. It's too many advance memes here. Oh my gosh. All right, whatever. We'll show it another time. On the unforgettable Sam Cedar face, essentially. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm going to start wrapping up right there. So we appreciate you guys. We'll be back. Yeah, Wharton School of Finance. That's right. Okay, yeah, that's a Jesuit one. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you. All right, we'll wrap up right there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed the show. We are going to be back, as I said, Friday, and it looks like Greg Reese will be joining us. So do tune in for that. That'll be good. It'll be kind of a birthday show for Lana here, too. We decided first it was like, you just want to take the day off. We can do a stream Thursday instead or something. You know, I kind of say, nah, let's do it on my birthday. It's fine. It's like, all right, okay. All right. Now, I'm not going to force you if you're going to take the day off, you know, but anyway, so we'll be here Friday with more. So tune in for that, Flashback Friday, as usual. If you want to support what we do here, redashmembers.com. Odyssey, that's back up and running. We got a couple of super chats on Odyssey today. That is working again, so I'm very, very happy about that. We'll see how long it lasts, because their plan is to do away at least with the Stripe fiat thing there, but that's working for as of right now. For memberships, I don't think I have to reset that up again. I do have to review that. It was just announced here earlier today, so I didn't look at all the details yet. But otherwise, you can do Subscribestar or Locals. And just a point of reference there for you guys, the last three on that list, Odyssey, Subscribestar, Locals, that is instant because it's right away, because they do have mainstream processors. We do not currently at RedHatMembers.com have a processor that's connected to the website's back end. So we have to manually activate your accounts. We appreciate your patience. If it's taken longer than 24 hours or so, send us an email again. Just remind us in case you've fallen through the cracks, and we will get your accounts activated as soon as possible. But we appreciate your patience on that. And for understanding, it's really outside of our control, and we do our very best to keep up with all of that as quickly as possible. So thank you, guys. Also, let me say thank you to... Where are you guys hiding at? Where are you? I thought I brought you in. Where's my executive producers at? I do want to say thank you to you guys as well. We can show this in the meantime. Producer, executive producers. There's the graph for it as well. Great way to support us. You get a shout-out at the end of the show. Red House members, Odyssey Subscribe Star. That's where you can get your hands on one of those. So with that, thank you to T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt, Good Luck Lap. We have Jake, Red Pill Rundown, French 47, Mark Smith, No One Jeebs, President Obunga, we got Mongoose, William Fox from America First Books, Angry White Soccer Mom, The Second Wanderer, Operation Werewolf, The Ride Never Ends, Last Place Simp, Joseph Hart, Purple Haze. We also have Rex Ballington, Commie Combo Deal, The Dearborn Toxic Event, Brendan Anthony. We have Penelope 7, USA, Bertrand Compare, Dixie Drone Force. We got Albert, aka Arctic Wolf, Europe Awake, and Teutonic Werebear. Thank you so much to our executive producers. We appreciate you guys tremendously. Also, thanks to our producers, Mr. Walker 696, Lord HB Lovecraft, Yuan Son Trevor, Leroy Demand, Der Schwabe, Snark Pup, Sonata for Violin, Eyes Open, Whitewater Rafting Fan, Mr. Lemry, Jetfire, Urinu, ExposedFlyers.com, Obadiah Hakeswell, Shane B, Perfect Brute, Restitutor Orbis, Single Action Army, Alcyon, and The Boo Man. If you're not in that rotation, just send us an email. RedEyes@protonmail.com, and we'll get you right in there. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. All right, so we'll be back with more here then on Friday. Tune in for that. We appreciate you guys. Let me do a round here again, make sure we are caught up on everything. I think we are. Check Entropy One, guys. Some guy says Western civilization is the product of white people. There you go. Damn straight. Damn straight. All right, thank you, some guy. Appreciate that. Okay, so yeah, we'll be back with Friday. Greg Reese is slated to join us in case the schedule changes, but we'll see you then. And take it easy out there, because apparently it's going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride, I heard here, Friday. We'll check in on that and see if that's true or not. All right, obviously, pick up one of our mugs if you want to. T-shirt, get one of the Solar Boats ones. Super comfy, real nice print on there. Get one with the logo on it. You got one with a hat as well. In fact, I'm going to run the ad here as we go out. All right, guys, we'll see you on the next one. Take care. Folk first.
New Red Ice merch available now. Folk first t-shirts for adults and for toddlers. Fatigues for men. Our favorite, the Red Ice camper mug. Or ceramic with black print. High quality leather keychain with Solar Boat imprint. Our Red Ice hat, one of our best sellers. Pick one up today, or why not? Gray Auslander Rouse t-shirts for both women and men. We also have fridge magnets, Folk First, One Disease, and our black men's t-shirt with the classic red Solar Boat. Folk First. Get your Red Ice merch from LanasLlama.com. Get an item today. Lana's Llama, proud sponsor of Red Ice.
You're watching Red Ice TV. Folk first.
Thank you for watching. Go to redicemembers.com and sign up for exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/redice. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.